الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. We resume the classes on the etiquettes of knowledge. This is class number 2. The last point that was emphasized concerning the etiquettes of the seeker himself, the manners of the seeker of knowledge, is that he should know and should be versed in the understanding of the creed as well as of the methodology of the righteous predecessors. They are the followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam on the way he was in the understanding of Islam and in its application. And being on their path is adherence to his command sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be on that which he was upon and that which his companions were upon. Then thirdly is the continuous khashya lillahi ta'ala, the continuous aw, to have continuous aw of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala al-imam Ahmad, Imam Ahmad, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, aslu al-ilmi khashyatullah, the origin of knowledge is, and the foundation of it is, the aw, having aw of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this aw is to fear Allah based upon knowledge and magnification. Based upon knowledge and magnification. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the noble Quran, in Surah Fatir 35, verse 28, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. This is chapter 35 verse 28. It is only those who have knowledge among Allah's slave that fear him subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the person knows Allah well, then you will find him in compliance with his commands, established well with him subhanahu wa ta'ala, established well with the believer. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. And the difference between aw and fear, there is a difference between al-khashya wal-khawf. There is a difference between aw and fear. Al-khashya takunu min idham al-makhshi. Aw is due to the magnificence and greatness of the one feared. And al-khawf yakunu من ضعف الخائف. And the fear is due to the weakness of the person himself. Although the one feared is not magnified. That's why the child fears someone older than him, a boy for example, older than him by few years. So consequently, aw is greater than fear. Now, the fourth etiquette is to act upon that which we learn from the knowledge. To act upon that which we learn from the knowledge. The true scholar is the one who acts in accordance with his knowledge. This is the scholar who is referred to as Al-Alim Al-Rabbani. Rabbani, the scholar who nourishes himself in accordance with the knowledge that he acquired. Basically, this starts with himself. He starts with himself and then with others. If he doesn't act according to the knowledge he acquires, this will make him fail in the knowledge itself, and there will be no blessing in it, and also he will forget it. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the Jews in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 5:13. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. نَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. So because of their breach of their covenant, we cursed them and we made their hearts grow hard. They changed the words from their right places and have abandoned a good part of the message that was sent to them, and you will not cease to discover deceit in them except a few of them, but forgive them and overlook their misdeeds. So نَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, abandoned a good part of the message that was sent to them. This could mean that it is either the abandonment of this good part, relinquished what they learned from the good knowledge, or that they will forget it mentally, in memory. However, if the person will act in accordance with the knowledge he acquired, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him in guidance. قال الله تعالى والذين اهتدوا زادهم هدى, in Surah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم 47:17. والذين اهتدوا زادهم هدى. While as for those who accept guidance, He, Allah, increases their guidance and bestows on them their piety. So they will also acquire something extra, and this is taqwa. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, and bestow on them their piety, if he acts in accordance with the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And if the person also acts according, when we say the person meaning the seeker of knowledge, if he acts according to his knowledge, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, then Allah will make him know that which he did not know before. And that's why it is narrated from Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that he said, هتف العلم بالعمل فإن أجابه وإلا ارتحل. The knowledge calls upon action. If it responds, then that's what's required. Otherwise, it will go away. Otherwise, it will go away. Welcome back. And this is clear because if you act according to the knowledge, you will remember it every time you act on it. So there will be refreshment. And take as an example, a person knew the description of Salah from the Sunnah and started acting accordingly. Okay, Sister Ahmed, this is a narration from Ali. This is a saying of Ali himself. It is not a hadith. Jazakumullah khair. Take for example, a person knew the description of Salah from the Sunnah and started acting accordingly. Every time he prays, will he forget what he knows? No, because it is recurring, taking place, it is repeated. But if he abandons the action, then he will forget it. And this is a physical evidence that acting according to the knowledge entails the firmness of the knowledge and its settling. The what is this now? Number 4 or number 5, Sister of Ahmed? Are we at 4 or 5? Or maybe 6 even? I forgot the numbers now. Okay. So the coming one is 6. The coming is 6 or the coming one is 5. Okay. So the fifth etiquette is دوام المراقبة, continuous observance. Continuous observance. Openly and secretly. This continuous observance is a fruit of khashya, is a fruit of aw. When the aw is present, then this will lead to continuous observance, because the person will be with Allah continuously, worshipping Allah as if he sees him. He stands to perform the salah, makes the wudu as if he is executing the command of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5, number 6. He contemplates these verses when he is about to perform the salah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, idha qumtum ila salati, faghsilu wujuhakum, al-ayah. Oh, you believe, when you intend to offer salah, wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows, rub your heads, wash your feet up to the ankles, to the end of the verse. He remembers this when he stands up, when he stands to perform the salah, that he needs to make the wudu. when he wants to establish the salah, he wants to make the wudu, he contemplates this. He knows that this is an execution of the command of Allah. And when he goes to make the wudu, then he performs it as if he is looking at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while in his wudu, remembering his saying, "Man tawadda'a nahwa wudu'i hadha," whoever makes wudu like my wudu. This is continuous observance, and this is an important matter. So he continues in observing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moving between fear and hope, because as it is said by some of the Salaf that moving between fear and hope on the path to Allah is like the two wings of a bird. Now comes the question. Yo, hi. Hi, Sonia. Which is more important, that the person moves on the path to Allah between fear and hope, or he should give more emphasis to fear or more emphasis to hope? Imam Ahmad, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said his fear and his hope should be one. Okay. His fear and hope should be one. And if one overtakes the other, then the person will be destroyed. And some of the scholars go into details regarding this. They say, if you are about to perform an obedience act, an act of obedience, then give more weight to hope. Such that if you perform it, Allah accepts it from you and raises you to higher ranks. And if you are about to indulge in an act of disobedience, then give more weight to the matter of fear, so that you don't indulge in it. And according to this saying, the weight to either one will be in accordance with the condition of the person. Yet some of the scholars also discussed it from another angle, with more details. Like, for example, they said, in case of illness, then he, the person, the believer, gives more weight to the matter of hope. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بربه. Let not one of you die except while he has a good opinion of Allah. And because if he gives more weight to the matter of fear during his illness, this, it is possible that it may drive him to despair from the mercy of Allah. And they said that during the times of good health, normal health, let him then give more weight to the side of fear. Because health is a cause of temptation to perform corrupt actions. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah, meaning Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, said, وَالَّذِي أَرَى, and the way I see it is, the person, the believer, should deal with his condition in accordance with what it entails. And that the closest of the sayings in this respect would be, if he does a righteous deed, if he does good, then let him give more weight to hope. And if he is about to indulge in an evil act, in a sin, let him give more weight to the side of fear. This is the best of opinions that I see in this grave and dangerous matter. And then he warned that having hope in Allah should not be like wishful thinking. Like some person continuously disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says, the mercy of Allah is vast. This is wrong. Because this is not having a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be a reason upon which hope is built, and upon which the good opinion of Allah is built. Otherwise, it will be wishful thinking. The sixth etiquette for the seeker of knowledge is clinging to humility, humbleness, and abandonment of false pride and arrogance. These are the good manners. The seeker of knowledge should have continence, abstinence concerning that which is in the hands of the people. Also, he should have abstinence concerning everything which is unlawful, and clemency. Such that he doesn't rush to inflicting punishment if someone does wrong to him. And perseverance on the harm and the hurt which may befall him during the seeking of knowledge process, either from the common people or from his peers or from his teacher. Let him be patient, anticipating the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And humbleness to the truth and to the creatures as well. He humbles himself to the truth. How could this be? It means whenever the matter becomes clear to him to be the truth, then he accepts it and seeks no other alternative. Similarly, with respect to the creation, the seeker of knowledge should be humble. Many times, things will open for him from the means of knowledge taken from those who are lesser than him in knowledge. So he shouldn't look at them in an arrogant way, because they are lesser than him in terms of this degree of knowledge. Similarly, from these matters related to this etiquette is that the seeker of knowledge should keep away from lightlessness. He should have dignity. He shouldn't be inconsistent in his dealing with people, nor even in the way he walks. He shouldn't walk lightly, but with dignity. And shouldn't have too much of laughness or laughing, which really renders the height, which really renders the heart lifeless, makes the heart dead. Too much of laughing, and it takes away dignity. Rather, he should be humble, acquiring the morals fitting to the seeker of knowledge. Add to that, he should be humble himself to the process of learning. And when he does this, he will attain the might of knowledge. When he does this, he will attain the might of knowledge. So he will attain a great benefit. Proud haughtiness occurs to the seeker of knowledge and to the person who is rich, and even to the good opinionated person. In fact, in regarding every grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person may act with some kind of arrogance, and this false pride, which is in Arabic called al-khuyala, is to have strong admiration of the self, and having this manifested on the body. Because admiration could be in the heart, and if its effects appear on the body, then it becomes the false pride. And in this there is also an element of hypocrisy, because the person would appear greater than his real status, like the hypocrite appears to be sincere, taking the path of an advisor, while in reality he is not. And one should know in this respect that the disease of the tyrants is haughtiness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it in the most comprehensive and concise meaning and most clear way. when he said in its definition of haughtiness and disdainfulness, he said, Al-Kibru Batrul Haqq wa Ghamtun Nas. Haughtiness is rejection of the truth and looking down at people in a despicable way. And the leader of this type of people is Iblis, is Shaitan. What did prevent him from prostrating to Adam? It is haughtiness and arrogance. This is exemplified clearly in his response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra 17:61, أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينَ. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate unto Adam, they prostrated except Iblis, Satan. He said, shall I prostrate to one whom you created from clay? He looked at him in a despicable way. And then he said in the next verse, the same chapter in 62, هذا الذي كرمت علي. This is one whom you have honored above me. And then in 7:12, he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Surah Al-A'raf, verse 12. I am better than him. You created me from fire, and him, Adam, you created from clay. And therefore, in this respect, it is worth reminding that the seeker of knowledge should be careful not to have a haughtiness attitude with tongue or through action or expressed emotions regarding his teacher. Should avoid presumptuousness, not walking with his teacher, for example, in a haughty way, saying to him, I have done this and I have done that. And should also be aware not to shun the benefits of knowledge which someone who is lesser than his rank in knowledge may give him or show him. Because such an attitude will really deprive him from knowledge. Because knowledge will be a war against him. think of the flood that comes from a high place, a hill and something. It is high, the hill is high, but this flood gushes left and right and does not settle on the hill. The next point, next etiquette, is satisfaction and subsistence. Satisfaction is from the most important characteristics or etiquettes of the seeker of knowledge. Meaning he should be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. And doesn't look to be, he should be content. And should not look to be from the rich. Because some seekers of knowledge, and others as well, they like to find themselves amongst the ranks of the rich and so forth. And thus you see them spending in eating and in drinking and in clothing and in bedding and so forth. And then become overburdened with debt. And this is wrong. The seeker of knowledge should take content as a good company on his path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And concerning az-zuhd, abstinence, az-zuhd means relinquishing that which is of no benefit in the hereafter. This is the meaning of zuhd. Abstinence, is relinquishing that which has no benefit in the hereafter. There is another element which is called al-wara, which is reservedness, and piety. Or we can say it is pious reservedness, and this will be called wara, and this is a very important term. And there is difference between zuhd and wara. Earlier, zuhd was defined as relinquishing whatever is of no benefit in the hereafter, as to the wara is relinquishing that which is harmful in the hereafter. You see that now, al-wara, which is pious reservedness, is to relinquish and abandon that which is harmful in the hereafter. Al-wara, tarku ma yadurru fil akhira. And az-zuhd, tarku ma la yanfa'u fil akhira. Baynahuma farq. So there is a difference between wara, pious reservedness, and az-zuhd, abstinence. and therefore zuhd is of a higher rank. You see, zuhd is of a higher rank because it is relinquishing that which is of no benefit for the hereafter. And from the things in this life, the person, the believer or the seeker of knowledge in this case, relinquishes them because they have no benefit in the hereafter, and therefore zuhd is of a higher rank than wara. So let us take a situation. Something that is of no benefit and is not harmful. The pious does not avoid this. He does not avoid it. However, the person who is zahid, comes from zuhd, he will leave it because he doesn't want except that which is beneficial in the hereafter. This is the difference between the two. Is this matter clear? Is this clear, inshallah? The difference between the two, between zuhd and between wara'. Okay. طيب الحمد لله. طيب. Translation. Okay. In English. We gave the definition, zuhd, yes, in English, yes, is relinquishing, I see. Abstinence, yes, that's it. Naam. This is zuhd. Is it clear now, inshallah? Abstinence, yes. Okay, alhamdulillah. The eighth is having an overall good appearance for the seeker of knowledge. Good appearance. Good appearance. Ensures calmness, dignity, humbleness. This is the outward appearance. Because the seeker of knowledge is looked upon to be a good example in these etiquettes and in other etiquettes as well. And therefore, he should avoid useless play except that which is approved by Sharia, or he also should avoid doing that which is there is no need for, which is not necessary, or to say something also, there is no reason for him to say it. There is no benefit in it. Also, it's important that he doesn't sacrifice his dignity through stupidity and lots of laugh, especially loud, too much joking. This takes away respect. And especially if it is done in front of common people, because it will bring on the seeker of knowledge a state of humiliation. And therefore, they are not going to respect him, nor respect the knowledge that he carries or holds. On an example, to say something which is of no benefit, but to the contrary, it may even have a backlash. Like, for example, say, well, last night or yesterday I ate so much that I filled my belly. And take the like of this. These matters, therefore, are part of the overall good appearance of the seeker of knowledge, which he should give attention to. We stop at this point, inshallah ta'ala, to continue these matters in the next class, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.